Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Human lovers versus digital dolls is all part of our conversation about artificial general intelligence coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I am so excited that you are here with me today. As you know, we have been doing a series on artificial general intelligence with my good friend R.D. Palmer, and we are just scratching the surface of this topic. But if you want to hear more about our discussion about artificial general intelligence, what it is, what it means, its implications, and the human element that combats this, make sure you listen to all the episodes in this series about artificial general intelligence. Now, you may have been wondering, what in the world are we talking about when we say human lovers versus digital dolls? Well, there's a lot to talk about this topic because as more and more people begin to desensitize themselves from each other, something has to take that place, and that place is artificial general intelligence, or artificial intelligence is some sort of artificial means of creating intimacy. But the question is this: can artificial intelligence create intimacy? Is it better than what we already have as human beings? There's so much to this topic that I can't wait to delve into it, and we're going to delve into it right away with my good friend R.D. Palmer. R.D., how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you, Parker?
I am fine, thank you. And for those of you listening in, this show is pre-recorded, so I won't be taking any live questions or comments today. But those of you who did reach out to me and sending your questions and comments about our show, we are responding to that. And make sure you always contact us because we love to hear from you and get your thoughts and insights into our topics. Even, and I know RD will agree with me, even if you disagree with every single thing we're saying, it doesn't matter. It's all about the dialogue. And that's what's so great about this series, RD, is the fact that we are dialoguing about things that affect us in the here and now. And one of those things is artificial general intelligence and artificial intelligence and how it impacts us as human beings. And so today we're going to take a turn and talk about intimacy. And that's why we titled the show Human Lovers versus Digital Dolls. So RD, let's just delve right into our topic here because there's so much I want to talk about. But before we do that, go ahead and just reintroduce yourself to those who may not have heard about you.
Great. Thank you again, Parker. And you're absolutely correct. You don't have to agree with what I say or what Parker says. I'm very glad to hear from you really at any time. And this topic, which is artificial general intelligence, will affect us. Currently, we have artificial intelligence now. Artificial general intelligence is literally right around the corner. So just a quick background about me. Some of this may be a repeat from previous sessions that we had, but when I was going to college, we were writing programs using punch cards. And I know some people might think that that's kind of funny, but hey, I'm 64 years old, so that's what we used to do. Once I graduated from college, I actually wrote programs for robots, and from writing programs for robots, and I went to work for one of the world's largest hardware computer companies, so they made the computers, and I got to literally travel around the world, and I worked not on the hardware side of making the computers, but I worked on the software side to make the companies run. So the company, very large multinational company, we had subsidiaries in, oh gosh, I don't know, who knows, 100, I don't know how many countries, but I went to, I think it was 13 mm-hmm. countries or whatever. I worked in those countries for periods of time. Like, for example, many of you have seen what's going on in Venezuela, and I'm very familiar with Venezuela. I've been in Caracas, I don't know, probably 10 times or so. But anyway, so I worked in different countries working with software. Later on in my career, actually I was in Singapore. Interesting. I was working in Singapore for a while, and I got a request from at the time, and I think they still are, the world's largest business software company. And they had asked me to come and work for them, and literally I tendered my resignation when I was in Singapore with a hardware company, that a computer hardware company I was working with. And then when I got back into the States, I went to work for the software, this super large, or largest in the world, I should say, the business software company. And specifically, and I'll round this up, I was, and I still am today, very pro-technology, very pro-science. And by working literally in a global environment for most of my life. I would say that I was even globalism. But what happened is, as I was starting to listen to people, it was saying, hey, there's changes that are occurring. The changes, for example, with what's happening with the Internet, how certain large multinationals are controlling the Internet, and specifically what they're doing. And literally, I mean, this is there's no open secret about it. I mean, it's literally common knowledge about what they were doing with the data, so there's no secrets whatsoever. And then the other thing that was occurring was with artificial intelligence. So, again, I was a pro-technology, still am pro-technology individual, but what I saw from a Christian standpoint was that this wasn't being addressed. So from that, going back to 2018, I wrote a book which I believe and hope and is being led by God in this case, which addresses artificial intelligence from a Christian perspective. So hopefully that gives your listening audience a little bit of background about me. Some of that is a repeat, and I think some of that's a bit new.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the series, that sometimes you and I have talked a lot and we enjoy our conversations on and offline. And so I always want to give the opportunity for those of you who may not have the same opportunity that I have to get to know you, because I can always read a bio, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, you tell me what you are about, and our listeners will definitely resonate with that. And for those of you, you know, Peter Younghusband was the one who told me to do this, Parker. He said, Parker, invite R.D. Palmer. I couldn't read his book right away, but have him on the show. And that, I always do what Peter Younghusband tells me to do. I always do what he tells me to do. So, you know, because I like my life. So I always do what he tells me to do. And so he's the one who really connected us. It's been such a wonderful friendship that I have with R.D. And just growing and learning so much about this topic, especially about artificial general intelligence. And I was telling R.D., and even though our listeners out there are not a lot of people talking about this. And so we are so glad that God is gifting us the opportunity and the means to address these various topics with you. And we know we're just scratching the surface of this topic. So if there's anything you want us to talk about, be sure to reach out to me. Reach out to my email, rightstuffradio@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you want to talk to R.D., you can reach out to R.D. too. And we'll definitely take on those questions and comments as we get them. And so for today's show, like I titled it, was Human Lovers versus Digital Dolls. You may be wondering, what in the world are you guys talking about? Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll tell you why we thought this was such an interesting topic to talk about in just a few moments.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yeticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yeticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking about human lovers versus digital dolls. This is part of our series about artificial general intelligence with my good friend R.D. Palmer. Now, before the break, we gave you a reintroduction to the series. We had R.D. reintroduce himself for those of you who don't know him. And now I want to get into the nitty-gritty of why I thought this particular topic was so important to the discussion. I was watching an episode of Star Trek, and I promised to not make it long, but I was watching an episode of Star Trek Voyager, and in the episode, one of the characters, who's a Vulcan, was going through what is known as the Ponfar, which is every 7 years they have a desire to mate. And so they have to go back to Vulcan every 7 years and get their mates. Usually most Falcon marriages are arranged, but since this particular character was on the other side of the galaxy, there is no way he can get to his mate. And so if they don't mate because of the chemical imbalances in their brain, Vulcans will die if they don't mate, or if they don't do a ritualistic fighting scene, or if they do some kind of meditative thing. So what happened in this episode of Star Trek was that the doctor, who's the holographic doctor on the ship, created a holographic mate for the Vulcan. And the Vulcan was like, she's not real. You think I'm going to mate with her? And he said, just tell your mind that she is everything you need her to be. And that got me to thinking a lot about our series, Artificial General Intelligence, because what had happened here was that the holographic program had created a holographic program to fulfill a humanoid need. And I thought that was so interesting. And so what I did, I sent this long, massive email to RD telling him just the whole background, much longer than what I just did now. But I sent this huge email to RD. I said, RD, we need to talk about this. So RD, in his typical fashion, he gave me some more details to talk about this topic of AI giving us intimacy, which is why we titled the show Human Lovers versus Digital Dolls. And RD, let's get right on to our topic here. When I sent you that email and I shared various things about that particular episode, what were some of your thoughts when it came to artificial intelligence and human intimacy?
Well, so a couple things, and I can see exactly where humans, they want intimacy, right? And sometimes they look for that intimacy if it's not in another human. They look at it. Into, for example, like an animal, and they're trying to get intimacy. I mean, it might be a pet, as an example, from that animal. But what's happening with technology is that, well, let me back up for just a moment. So in my entire career, I don't know how many programs that I've written, and I think I've mentioned this before. You know, I don't know if it's probably 1,000, but, you know, sometimes small and sometimes large, but we were always programming for results. And we were not programming for feelings. And feelings are what we're talking about with intimacy. So realize that with Star Trek, you know, we're talking about, as the movie is, it's, you know, several centuries in the future. So, you know, what I can talk about is what we have now and what we're looking at for near future, you know, for centuries from now. What we have now is absolutely not intimacy. Now, I mentioned that what we do is, you know, even today is that we're programming for results. Now, we can trick people, and as a matter of fact, there's an MIT artificial intelligence researcher. Her name is Sherry Turkle, spelled G-U-R-K-L-E. So you don't just have to take my word for it. But, you know, I've worked in the industry, the software industry, but she says that when you're programming with the artificial intelligent entities, they're tricking us into thinking that these robots, for example, that maybe you want to do bond with a robot, for example, that they're tricking us into this expressing some kind of emotion back to us. The artificial intelligence cannot feel. Well, for example, what we talked about previously, there is no pain, there is no blood that comes out, there's no fear for artificial intelligence, and on the flip side, there's really no love. Now, with humans, certainly we can experience that love, but with artificial intelligence, we cannot. And I want to just touch on a couple other things. So there's this tendency within humans, like, for example, some people, and, you know, I don't want to bash people, but they'll name their automobiles, for example. They'll give a human name to their automobiles, like as if it was alive, right? So they do that, I guess, to get an attachment. Now, in some schools, I don't know that it's in all schools, but in some of the schools, what there is there's an artificial. It's kind of like a small robot. I'd say it's about 2.5 feet tall, and it's called Milo. And again, your audience can look it up, M-I-L-O. But they use Milo in schools for autistic kids, And the reason why they do that is so that the autistic kids can learn to have some emotions. And it, so Milo is teaching that. But yet, I come back to the same point, even with what Sherry Turkle said, it's tricking you. And what they attempt to do is they don't want the kids, these children, to get attached to the artificial intelligence, the 2.5-foot Milo robot. So they only have, they try to limit it to 30 minutes. Because the fact that people's minds, unfortunately, can be tricked. And I think that is, even if you're an adult, and I think a lot of adults, maybe either they consciously or unconsciously want to be tricked into thinking that you can have intimacy. I'll just say one other comment, and this actually comes, it's a quote from Cheryl Turkle, the artificial intelligence MIT professor. She says, the performance of empathy is not empathy, she said. Simulated thinking might be thinking, but simulating feeling is never feeling. Simulated love is never love. So we can't have intimacy, even though the people want to do that, and, you know, even with artificial general intelligence, people might want to do that. There's no feeling that's going to be able to come from that. Humans are created special, and even though that we can create artificial intelligence that has greater intelligence because of the fact that it can pull from historical information and things such as that, or cross silos of domain of information. That's what artificial intelligence can do, but it does not have feelings and it cannot have intimacy.
And I like that. That's a good beginning to our discussion here, because we did receive comments and questions regarding our topic today. So I'm going to have you respond to them, and then we'll talk about them as we see fit here, because we got a lot of information to cover, but some of that information may be covered in the questions and comments that we received. So Elizabeth from Scottsdale, Arizona says this: intimacy was meant to be between God and human. She says Adam and Eve. And then she says Adam and Eve didn't feel like they were deprived of anything until Satan convinced Eve she needed to be godlike. Sounds like another perversion of God's creation, creating AI to give intimacy. And that was from Elizabeth from Scottsdale, Arizona. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. RD?
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth, for that question. And you're right on target. So what God was saying is that there is a relationship not just with humans, right, but there is a relationship between us and God. And you hit the nail on the head. And with that, I specifically mean that God wants to have a relationship with him, and that he seeks that. And then, of course, the perversion, and I'm glad that you brought this up, the perversion is that, hey, instead of having that intimacy with God and believing that God will provide things, and it's really a fear that I have, and which I wrote back in my book last year, is that people will have that belief and they will want to have that intimacy with an all-knowing being, or I mean, super knowing, not as all knowing as God, but that would be artificial intelligence. So what Elizabeth is saying is correct. And I would also say, and I would say that there's quite a bit of insight of what Elizabeth said. This problem it started with Adam and Eve, and it started with that whole belief, but it's carrying on, and we still see it even today. So that was a good question.
Stacy also, she makes a comment here. Stacy says this. She says, Pete, Siri, talk dirty to me. Siri, I do not understand that command. Please provide an example. Pete, now I'm embarrassed. Siri, I do not understand that command. Please explain. And that was Stacy from Facebook. And I like that she used that kind of is a funny comment, but it kind of puts into perspective what she's thinking about this thought here. What do you say to Stacy's example?
Well, again, that comes back to programming. So what's happening with Siri, for example, is the way that they have a program to try to do some blocking. I will say, and this is a little bit unfortunate, but I can say that this is where some people are going because of the fact that there's money that's there, and that is that some people are starting to use artificial intelligence, and you probably see a little bit of an inkling of it either on the news or maybe on the internet, that it, unlike Siri, to where it's blocking, there's these sex bots, if you want to call them. You know, I feel a little bit uncomfortable even talking about it, but in a way, it's good to talk about it because that's, again, a perversion of where people are going. And there was a survey that was done about even people wanting to have a relationship, wanting to have sex, and unbelievable, but the survey showed that 40% of Americans would agree to have sex with a robot. And, I mean, to me, this is just absolutely mind-boggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they even
mm-hmm.
went on in this survey with saying, hey, that men would pay up to $1,600 and women would be willing to pay up to $560. And I'm thinking, what is this? They don't feel. They're only
mm-hmm.
tricking you into feeling. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and you want to believe the trick that is occurring. So with Siri, unfortunately, with the company that's controlling them, that, you know, there's limits that's on that, which is on the programming side. But there's people that are working to trick you, and they're
mm-hmm.
Taking away those limits is what it is. And unfortunately, people, 40%, which is amazing to me, are willing to pay for this to continue, which will actually, this is where technology, instead of helping us, is actually driving us away from God.
Mm. And these are just some of the tip of the iceberg things that are happening with artificial intelligence, and then leading up to artificial general intelligence that we've been talking about this entire series. One thing that I want to piggyback off what you said is the fact that I was watching a Facebook video. It must have been several months ago, maybe even a year ago, and they had those real sex dolls. You've seen the sex dolls, and they were in programming them with artificial general intelligence. And the guy,
right.
I'm sorry, I keep saying general intelligence, artificial intelligence, to make the
right.
doll fall in love with you, or you have to make the doll fall in love with you. You know, either you follow her or whatever. And
right.
I remember thinking how the owner of the company made the comment, well, some of these guys have had these dolls for 10 years. And I remember thinking, I'm sorry, this sounds bad, I'm not trying to be mean, but how pathetic is it that you put so much into a relationship with something that can't even breathe? You put so much into a relationship, but you won't take the same effort and do it with a real-life human being. And that brings me to my next question. We do have more questions and comments, but that does bring me to my next question that I would love to get your opinion on. Because one of the things we want to talk about is intimacy. And a lot of people, when they heard this question, the first thing they said was, define intimacy. What do you mean, Parker, by intimacy? And I think that is a very important question because some people see intimacy in a sexual connotation. Others see it in different light. So let's go ahead, piggyback a little bit, and let's define what we mean by intimacy. Now, I'll let you know that what I'm referring to particularly is of the physical or sexual kind, because that's where things are going. However, I would love to get your thoughts about it, RD.
Well, I think that there's two parts. So again, it comes back to that human element that we've been talking about, as compared to an animal element or to an artificial intelligence element. On the human element, I believe that there's two factors. One is the sexual side. So, for example, you know, I'm married, I've got a wife, and there's an intimacy that's associated with that. And I believe that, and, you know, we can even go to the Bible with that, you know, God wants that intimacy to occur. But I believe that, and that is a deep feeling. But I believe that there's a deep feeling also that does not have to be sexual. And what that is that it's an intimacy that we have with God. It says that wanting to obey what God's will is for our life, wanting to pray for others, wanting to be obedient, and that it's an intimacy and a desire to be with God. So I think that, again, that's what makes us uniquely human, as compared to animals, which don't have that. You know, there's not even a desire for monogamy with animals,
mm-hmm.
and we don't see any desire for animals to worship God. And likewise, we don't see that from an AI side. So that's uniquely a human side.
And it's interesting that a lot of people, as soon as I ask that question, they say, well, define it. Because, like I said, intimacy does have different connotations here. And so we're just getting started on some of the comments we received. We did get a series of comments from Cindy. Well, not a series, but a series of questions. Some are rhetorical, some aren't. And I want to thank Cindy again for joining in the conversation. Cindy says, what sort of intimacy do you mean, physical, emotional, or spiritual? Then she says, do AIs have a soul? If they don't, how can you be spiritually intimate with them? Can you be emotionally intimate with something that only has synthesized feelings? Do AI dream of electric sheep? And then, and it says, is being able to pass the Turing test a factor in whether an AI can be intimate? And those are all just semi-rhetorical and interesting questions from Cindy. Cindy, thank you for joining in the conversation. RD?
It's a lot of questions, so let me address at least a few of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what the Turing test is, which was actually the last question, it's really to determine whether or not that artificial intelligence can fool humans. And I believe, like I was saying before, it's the Google Duplex, so for anybody that wants to take a look, I believe that that's probably in the lead. There could be others, but that at least it's my opinion. And the reason why I say that it can fool people is with Google Duplex, it can not only listen and talk to you, but it can pause. It can say, "Well, let me think for just a moment." It's really interesting. And what they have for their demonstration that they showed is that they were phoning into a hairstylist and making an appointment, and it's just amazing. And if you didn't know that was artificial intelligence. I mean, so that's the other thing, and the question was, does AI dream? I believe that there's actually a book about that.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a book title about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see any evidence of AI having an existence or a cognitive. There we go. That's what I was thinking of. It's what is consciousness, right? And what makes us unique? We don't see AI having that. Now, there is a belief among some people that AGI, which is pretty close, so I guess it depends upon which person that you're talking to. You're talking to Ray Kurzweil, whom I've spoken about before. We were talking probably within about a decade. Others saying it's probably about the end of the century, but that's dealing with the consciousness and things such as that. But the question about the soul is actually a very, very deep question. So God could give, and I don't want to delve into it a whole lot, because actually that question in itself could probably take up a whole segment, an hour segment easily. But I'll just specifically say that, there's some people that, you take a look in different religions other than Christianity, for example, where they'll say that there's souls and animals, okay? Now, God could give a soul to anything if God wants to, okay? So there's no question about that. But what we're talking about is that in the Bible that God has given soul to humans, and that soul will live with God. And it talks about that and I don't have the verse right in front of me, but it was that don't fear the person that can destroy your body, but fear the person that can destroy your soul, send your soul to hell, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we have souls, and God wants, and then that soul will continue after life, and that's what we believe as Christians. Now, on the soul side for artificial intelligence, certainly that doesn't exist today. There's no belief that would even exist with AGI.
So what we're going to do is take a quick short break, and we're going to give an opportunity to let RD gather his thoughts, because some of you are just gotten some great comments and questions that I want us to expand and talk about. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, more with RD and me, AGI, Human Lovers, and Digital Dolls, coming up next in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5, having a wonderful time in our series, Artificial General Intelligence, and we've been tackling this massive topic for several weeks now. I hope you have been enjoying the series as much as I have been presenting it to you. RD is a fabulous guest co-host and contributor who gives us so much insight into a topic that could be overwhelming, but he makes it so simple. Do you want to know more about him? Visit him at rdpalmerbooks.com. And make sure you pick up his book, The One, which addresses artificial general intelligence and the war between it and humans. The One. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And RD, as always, thank you for being with us on the show, tackling the topic as we tackle human lovers versus digital dolls. And it's kind of an interesting topic because so many people have so many interesting things to add to the conversation. For example, we have a comment from Kathy. Kathy from Facebook. And Kathy, once again, thank you for joining in the conversation. Kathy says, mental intimacy, can they console you? What can you give them in return? A one-way relationship isn't intimacy. I can see a program so that the relationship grows when you give it something. Kathy, thank you so much for your input. RD?
Yeah, people will project an intimacy with an AI. Like, for example, I mentioned Milo a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So Milo, again, is used in schools for autistic children. But that Milo doesn't reciprocate. It might trick you into thinking that it's intimate. But you cannot have a even in a marriage, right? So if you've got a man and a woman and you're married, if it's one way, then you don't have a marriage. There is no intimacy. So you can't have an intimacy. You really can't be in. You can think, and you might be able to fool yourself. And there's actually some people, and I think it's a little bit unfortunate, and I've heard about this in China, for example, to where they want to be intimate with these non-living things, but they're tricking themselves is what they are, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. We did get another comment from David from Texas. I didn't get which part of Texas he was from, but Dave from Texas. David says, just watched a sci-fi show where a girl was having a cyber relationship with what she thought was a guy, only to find out it was her own AI who had fallen in love with her and was posing as a human in cyberspace for their intimacy. And then he adds, can make a compelling storyline. David, thank you so much for your comment. RD?
Well, it does make a compelling storyline. I think that we're going to even see more of this, both in books and movies.
RDK, speak a little bit. You sound a little muffled.
Sorry about that. Hopefully this is better. It does make a good storyline, and I think that we're going to see that more in books and movies because of the fact that as artificial intelligence grows in strength from narrower specific artificial intelligence to general artificial intelligence, as it grows in strength, the tricking humans is going to be stronger. So what's going to happen is that exactly with this, as David was saying with the cyber, you think that the person's a human because of the fact that they can make you, for example, it could be a holographic projection. As an example, or it could be that, what is this, that you're talking to somebody over the internet and you see their picture, but that's not really who it is. It's an artificial intelligence person, right? So I think that we're going to see more of that, and I think that people, because of the fact that there's something innate about people that they don't want to be alone, right? They fear, like, for example, if a person gets stranded on a desert island, you know, that one of the chief things that they have to overcome is being alone, and humans don't want to be alone, but many will go crazy, right? So they'll project something, even if it is an artificial intelligence. And I think that we're going to actually see more of that, and I would hope that by coming from a Christian perspective, that we just realize that this technology, although there's a lot of good, and I believe that there's more good that's even coming in the future, but there, along with that, a double-edged sword, if you will, that it can trick people, and it's going to make, I don't know, I wouldn't say weak-minded, let's say weak faith, there you go, the weak faith in faith to fall is what it's going to be, and the end result is that it's going to hurt you.
Rachel from Cleveland, Tennessee says, BFF gal friends can have a sort of intimacy. They share all their joys, fears, loves, hates, etc., with each other. They aren't physically intimate with each other. If your sole definition of intimacy is sex, then yeah, an AI can be made to have sex. Rachel, thank you so much for that comment. And I think she put something out there that I think we could address, because AI is programmable. And
right.
AI can be given input. And I think that's a significant part of our conversation. But I could be wrong. So go ahead and expand on that for us, RD.
But we earlier in our conversation, we talked about intimacy, that it could be between, for example, husband and wife. But we also said that intimacy could be between us and God. So it does not have to be sexual whatsoever. But that intimacy, it has to be two ways. So this goes back actually to what I think Kathy was saying, one way. So if you have an AI, it can trick you into thinking that there's intimacy, but there is no intimacy. It's not coming back to you. So with God, there's intimacy because of the fact that there's, if you will, two arrows, intimacy that we have with God and the intimacy that God has with us, and that is non-sexual. And from a sexual side of intimacy, you can have between a husband and a wife, but again, the arrows, it has to be going both ways. With AI, it's only tricking you is what's happening.
Erica from Rochester Hills, Michigan, just chimed in. Erica said, at best, they can provide the illusion of companionship, Parker J. Cole, friendship, etc., but it is not real. It's almost like reading a romance novel. It's all in your mind. That's just my 3.5 cents. Erica, thank you so much for your comment. Arthie?
3.5 cents is right on the target, because that's correct. It's not real. But people will want to believe that it's real. And I think that in the age that we have, you know, that there's people that will want to believe lies is what it is. So she's absolutely correct.
And I think it's interesting that you said people want to believe lies, because sometimes lies can be very comforting. They can be extremely comforting. But at the same time, the truth can be very hurtful. And sometimes we rather just lie. We rather prefer the lie.
Yeah.
I remember an episode. Go ahead.
I was going to give you an example, okay?
Sure.
And I feel in a way that this is very sad, but in a way it's kind of funny too, but and I don't mean funny in a bad way, but so here's the example. There's a person, and again, you could look up his name. His name is Zhen, and it's spelled Z-H-E-Z-H-E-N-G, and he's in China. And I think that most people are aware that China has had a ruling for a long time for one child in the family. And so it's been very unfortunate for those. What's happened is that if there was a female that was born in the family, they would actually kill or abort that female, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened now is as more men has grown in the population of China, right now, this is 2019, the ratio is about 114 men for every 100 women. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's still more men. So this person, guy, who's in, so what he did, he knows how to build artificial intelligence, so he actually built his own bride and married that bride in China, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now China, the government of China has not recognized it, but they did have a wedding, and he had pressure, again, 114 men for every 100 women, right? And we were talking about the desire of not being alone. So he went out and built his pride, and I think that in a way that's sad is what he's done, and I understand the circumstances, but and then as I was reading the article, it was kind of, in a way, sad, funny, because of the fact that he says, well, you know, I'm going to upgrade her to be able to do household chores.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you. Well, if that's the case, I mean, hey, well, program me one, you know, if that's the case. You know what, though? It's fascinating to me, though, because people are difficult. Here's the thing that I was thinking about as I thought about this conversation. People are difficult. And on your best days, the best relationships still can have difficult times. And people can hurt you. They can upset you. They can do many things to you. But people are definitely worth the effort. How many of us have a best friend? How many have a husband or wife that we adore? And they're like, well, look at the divorce rates. Okay, divorce rates are divorce rates. But what does that have to do with people? And I was telling someone when I first saw that video about the sex styles with the artificial intelligence being embedded into them. It's like, this is pathetic. So you rather, you know, work hard at a relationship with something that isn't real as opposed to working hard in a relationship with someone who can actually reciprocate back to you. Because what? I don't have to work as hard. And one thing God gave Adam and Eve, even before the fall, he gave them something to do, which was tend the Garden of Eden. And I think that's important. You have to work at these relationships. Relationships are complex in and of themselves. But that complexity builds its own rewards and gives its own rewards. And so that was something I was thinking about as you were talking about that too. And I was also thinking about an episode of, I think it was Outer Limits from the 90s. I don't think it was from the 50s, but from the 90s, where the girl's typing to the guy or whatever, and she goes, do you want the truth or a lie? He says, lie to me. So she just didn't want to be bothered with it anymore. Like, gee, you know, that's over with. So my next comment is a rather lengthy one, and I wanted to give us some time to respond to it. And Jeremy from Dolphin, he's a long-time supporter of the show. We want to thank him for commenting. Jeremy from Dolphin, Alabama, says this: any intimacy that an AI provides would be false, in my opinion. True intimacy requires vulnerability to know and be known in ways that are reserved for that individual alone. The wonder of intimacy comes from the fact that someone would choose to be that vulnerable with you, to do so not because they have to, but because they want to. I think this dynamic is impossible with AI, as there is nothing transcendent about it. No matter how complex an AI might be, they will still be an intelligence based on and determined by their programming. As such, there is no risk with an AI. If they are vulnerable to you, it is because their programming dictates that vulnerability. Similarly, if you are vulnerable with them, you are being vulnerable with an intelligence that is determined, bound by its programming. Of course, one could argue that we are artificially intelligent beings created by a creator God that embodies true intelligence. With that in mind, the only way that a relationship with an AI could be intimate is if we could create that AI the same way that God created us, not with mere self-awareness, but with transcendence and freedom of will that is not bound by nature or programming or what have you. Jeremy, thank you so much for that comment. He said quite a wallop there, RD. So what did you want to tackle first?
Well, Jeremy could actually be on the show. He's done an excellent job here. So he brought up several great things. One is when you're intimate, for example, with humans, not with God, but the intimate is the vulnerability, right? And certainly AI, as Jeremy said, could be programmed to where it could be vulnerable. But again, that vulnerability is tricking you. But a good thing and that Jeremy hit on, and I actually didn't think about this, but he's absolutely correct. And what he said was free will. So think about that for just a moment, that God gives us free will to do things that are wrong and to make good choices. And it comes back to also that love, right? That God could have created robots if he wanted to. But because of the fact that he wants that to be a choice, the choice to love him, that's the free will. Whereas we don't have that with AI. When you have AI, whether it be a robot that is physically with you or if it's AI that's remote, which is more of what I'm thinking about that we're having, but either way, there is no free will. It's humans are creating artificial intelligence as if it was a hammer, and that hammer is to be a slave to it. It is supposed to do our will, and that's not what free will is. So I think that what Jeremy said was it was really great. He could, as I said, that he could be on the show, and I think that the free will comment that he had was actually perfect, because I think that sums it up really good between relationship that we have not only with humans, but we also have with God, as compared to that relationship that we would have between AI and us.
One of the fascinating things about this topic is the fact that we can see our flaws in our technology, because those flaws exist inside ourselves. And so our creation reflects our flaws. However, God's creation doesn't reflect his flaws. It reflects us as ourselves because of the fact that we have free will. And that is the huge part of this conversation as we talk about artificial general intelligence, artificial intelligence, and the human element. You know, RD, we have been having such a great time, but we are at the end of our show, just responding to our comments and questions, which has been absolutely phenomenal. I want to thank all of you for joining in the conversation. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a part two of this discussion, because, like I said, we just scratched the surface, and there's so much more we want to talk about, because we want to give our listeners, and I know, RD, you would agree with me, we want to give our listeners the opportunity to know that we are tackling it as best as we can, coming at it from all sides as possible, trying to anticipate the questions before the questions are even uttered. So I want to thank you again, RD, for being with us. And if people want to have an opportunity to connect with you, where can they connect with you online?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me again. And thanks for everybody that's asking these questions. They're actually fabulous questions. We really enjoy them. The best way to reach me is just go out to my website, which is at rdpalmerbooks.com, and down below in that, there's a contact area, and you just input whatever question or comment that you'd have, and I'm happy to get back with you. I usually get back within either the same day or, worst case, would be the day after. So, again, it's rdpalmerbooks.com. And by the way, on that website, if you go to Book Inner, I think it's about 10 or so. They're one-minute segments from the audiobook, so you can actually listen to different segments from the audiobook there too.
RD, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for just spearheading this conversation. Thank you so much for just opening yourself up to our listeners so they can know more about artificial general intelligence, artificial intelligence and us and how we are such a huge part of the equation. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I cannot wait to have you back for part two of our discussion. And we were talking today to R.D. Palmer. Like I said, R.D. is just a wonderful resource for me as we talk about artificial intelligence, about the advance of artificial general intelligence, and what it means for us as human beings and as for believers. What has been so exciting about this series is that we've tackled so many topics because artificial intelligence is very prevalent in our society. We use it every day. And one thing RD always says is that he is pro-technology. So we're not trying to unplug the internet, if that's a possibility. We're not trying to unplug the internet. We're not trying to do away with technology. We want to be careful in how we utilize technology. And so this series about artificial general intelligence and its impact on us and on our society is so important for us to believers to be cognizant of these things. So I hope you've enjoyed this series. Again, we'll be taking part two of this next time with RD, so stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.